I have a little daily reading, and this daily reading my wife and I have used for many years, and in it, it's done by the Radio Bible Class, and it is available like this, or it is available in big print. And I was reading on the 8th of April, and it was actually my opening thought for this morning. It's entitled, A Shepherd for Life. A Shepherd for Life. And as I thought about it, it had two meanings. One is, you can have a shepherd for life. And the other is, that the shepherd gives us life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Have it to the full. Life 100%. Jesus, the good shepherd. And it is this morning, because it's holiday, I thought I would do something a little different. And I'll just start off by what this lady says. A lady, Akila Ochoa, writes, when my son changed classes in school, he cried. I want my teacher for life, he said. We had to help him realize changing teachers is part of life. We may wonder if there are any relationships that can last for a lifetime. And the verse of scripture that her daily thought is on is in Genesis chapter 48. And verses 12, 13 and 14 tell us about how Joseph is sitting his two children for Jacob to bless them. And then verse 15 says in Genesis 48, then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life until this day, may he bless these boys. And so Jacob, a shepherd, had his name changed to Israel by God, and he wrestled with the angel, and yet he said, he has been my shepherd. God has been my shepherd. Now, for people who don't know me, I was very privileged. My father-in-law was a shepherd. And my father-in-law was used by God to bring me to the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. She concludes, changing teachers is part of life, but how good it is to know that we can have a relationship for life. The shepherd has promised to be with us every day of our earthly existence. And when life here ends, we will be closer to him than ever. In Matthew 28 and 20, and teaching them to obey everything, Jesus speaking to his disciples, I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Jacob had been a shepherd. The God has been my shepherd all my life until this day. I can't say that. God has not been the shepherd of my life until this day, because I didn't know that there was a shepherd until I was 19. I knew about the Bible. I went to Sunday school, but the Sunday school never told me that Jesus died for me. They told me he died, but I didn't know that I could have a personal relationship with God. For some, Christianity can be a dehydrated religion. For others, it can be a real and vibrant relationship with God. When people I hear it said so often, "Oh my God, I wonder who they are speaking about." And sometimes when I was working, a lady said to me, "Mr. Holt, surely there's more to life than what's going on in the world today." I said, "Of course there is." "Oh," she said, "I'd love to hear what you have to say." I said, "Oh, put the kettle on." And we sat down over a cup of coffee, and I told her how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, and that she can know him too. And this morning, I want to encourage you with the help of God, that when I speak to you this morning, I want you to know the shepherd in a very special way, this relationship. David was a shepherd also, and he knew that he knew the shepherd, for he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The number of times the word shepherd appears in the whole Bible is 62 times it refers to it. And I thought, Ken, you've chosen quite a large theme to speak on. But I tried, over the months that I had been given the opportunity to speak to you this morning, I kept putting it down and I kept picking it back up again. And I asked the Lord, if I was to speak on being a shepherd, and I'm the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would show to me that this is what he wanted. Throughout the Psalms, we find the word shepherd or sheep referred to. And I haven't gone through all of them, but I've just chosen three. Psalm 74. "O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smoulder against the sheep of your pasture?" And so you see, the sheep of your pasture. This is what he says. Psalm 78. "But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies." The crossing of the Red Sea. It's the wording of it. A flock led them like sheep through the wilderness, guided them. How? Safely. So they were unafraid. I wonder this morning if there's anything you're afraid of. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you have this relationship? In Psalm 80, the psalmist is speaking to God direct. He said, "Hear us, a shepherd of Israel." He's praying to a shepherd. "Hear us. You who led Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth." If we want to know the shepherd, turning to the New Testament can be very helpful. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus answered in John 10:25, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know me." Knowing the shepherd is a reality. Knowing him is real. So very real. I know them, says Jesus, and they know me. I give to them eternal life, and this is eternal life, to know the living and true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. No one can snatch them out of my hand. A shepherd for life. Peter writes this, speaking of the shepherd. He himself, speaking of Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus bore the punishment in his own body on the cross for your sin and for mine. That we might die to sin and live to what is right, righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, says Peter. You were like sheep gone astray. And all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has gone his own way. I went my way, and you went your way. Before I came to Christ, or before I understood, I went my own way. And it wasn't a very pleasant way, I assure you. It's a way that I would certainly try to forget. But I suppose because I can't forget it, it makes me appreciate what I have now in Christ. In Revelation, John says, to those who have gone through the great tribulation, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb is at the center of the throne. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear. Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 and Psalm 24 all fit together. They're what we call a trilogy. And if we look at Psalm 22, we see there it's a psalm of the Good Shepherd. My God, why have you forsaken me? He speaks about his bones out of joint. I am poured out like water. Psalm 22 speaks of the Good Shepherd giving his life for the sheep. Jesus does not say, I died for the sheep. He says, I gave my life for the sheep. And then, you know, it's amazing, really, because not only does he give his life for the sheep, he gives his life to the sheep. You might say, I don't want to be a sheep. I'm not a sheep. I want to be a soldier, or I want to be a lion. You may want to be the king of the swingers, a jungle VIP. But you're a sheep. When Jesus stood up and looked and saw the crowds, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. 23, the great shepherd. Psalm 23, the great shepherd. Living for the sheep, perfecting the sheep. Psalm 24 is the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd coming for the sheep. The good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I give my life for the sheep. The great shepherd, In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, it says this. It's a benediction and a final greeting. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. The great shepherd, Psalm 23, who was brought back from the dead. He lives today, and he intercedes for those who trust in him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The great shepherd, says Hebrews. And the chief shepherd, says Peter. The trilogy, the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep on the cross. The great shepherd living for the sheep, perfecting the sheep, the crook. And the chief shepherd coming for the sheep, the crown. These three things, the crown, the crook, and the cross. The crown, the crook, and the cross. Three things the great shepherd knows. There is a gentleman in our church this morning, and his name is Hugh Burrows. And I'm very pleased to see Hugh here this morning, because Hugh loves what is original. He likes to know the original language. I was watching a man on television, a photographer, Colin Pryor, and a lady had come from London, and all the names of the Munros have a meaning, and she wanted to know what the meaning was. And by knowing the meaning, you can know what it's like. It describes the Monroe. I find it easier to take a photograph of them and pronounce their names. And so he spent some time with this lady wanting to know what the original meant. And so I'm going to give you an original interpretation of Psalm 23. I was challenged because a man said, just speaking, I was listening to him, he said, can you quote the 23rd Psalm off by heart? And you know, I stumbled. I couldn't, for the life of me, quote it off. I have taken a couple of months to try and do it. And when you quote it by heart, it comes across differently, because you've got to think of what you're saying. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table in the presence of mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The foundation of the psalm is, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A shepherd for life. A shepherd for always. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. Now I have received through the post, I didn't ask for it, the names of God. Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Yiri or Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? For he will provide. He makes me to lie down in pastures green. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord is my peace. Jehovah Rophe. The Lord heals. He restores my soul. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is my righteousness. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Shama. The Lord is there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for the Lord is there. Jehovah Shama. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. In the presence of mine enemies, the Lord is going to fight the battles. He is the banner. I came up with these because it means so much to know what they mean and who he is. In the beginning, God. The first letter is God. And this is the great creator. You see, this Psalm 23 is a God of grace. I haven't said anything much about the sheep. I want you to turn your heart. He wants to provide for you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to take away your sin and heal you. Why does God do these things? Why does he save people? Why does he reach out? Why does he suffer so much when people say, no, thank you, not for me? Why? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. That's why he does it. He is the God of grace. Jesus, full of grace and truth. In closing, I have two verses of scripture. This morning we're going to remember the Lord by breaking bread and taking wine. If you don't want to do that, you may pass it on. You see, when I think of sheep going astray, unfortunately, it can be Christians who go astray too. Jeremiah 3:22 says this, my wayward children, God speaking, my wayward children, says the Lord, come back to me, and I will heal your wayward hearts. I will heal. Jehovah Rophe, I will heal. I will restore your soul. I will make everything different. There is an answer in the same verse of scripture. It says this, yes, we are coming. The people reply, for you are the Lord our God. For you are the Lord our God. The door is wide open for anyone this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your shepherd in the first place, maybe you're like Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. yet the Lord laid on him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sins of us all. How do we come to God? How? We just come and ask him. One of my favourite stories in the Bible is the prodigal son. And when I heard a man speaking and said, we're going to do three Sundays on the prodigal son, I couldn't understand how you could speak three consecutive Sundays on the prodigal son. The shepherd went out to seek the lost sheep, and he brought it back on his shoulders. The lady who lost the coin swept the floor with a lamp till she found it. Then the prodigal son. You see, the father was still at home. It's a picture of God. The father is still at home. And his greatest desire is that we come to him. The young man, I want. Father, give to me what is mine when you die. And the father gave it to him. And he went away in a far off country. You see, the shepherd had the lamb on his shoulders, but the young man was far away from the father. I want. And then the Bible tells us he was in want. What shall I do? And he came to his senses. I will go to the father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And he was on his way. He made his way back. And while he was on his way, the father ran to meet him. A man said, take away verse 20 and you're going to take away everything in the Bible. And when the father got to him, he hung on his neck and he kissed him. And the young man confessed his sin, his wrongdoing. Father, forgive me. And his father said, quick, kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And you know, I had never thought about it before. Maybe because of the famine, he sold his ring. He sold the shoes of his feet. Maybe as a Christian we can lose everything when it comes to knowing God. Our hearts become darkened and somehow God says, come to me and I'll heal you. Come to the Father. Come. Come unto me, all you labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. It's so important.